And I am speaking with independent researcher Michael Barker about, well, greenwashing, corporate social responsibility, and I guess to an extent the governance structures of environmental and human rights NGOs and the corporate sector. You've written a lot recently about the relationships between multinational corporations and NGOs. How interconnected would you say the governance structures of these are?
Between multinationals and NGOs, non-governmental organisations? I think they're totally interconnected at the moment. I don't think they were so in the past, but certainly in the last 30 years, there's been increasing push for non-governmental organisations to be almost totally dependent upon corporations for their funding. And so I think that's a fairly negative thing. If we want independent, non-governmental organisations keeping corporations and the government accountable.
What are some of the examples? Can you give us an example of some of the, I guess, the main culprits, so to speak?
Yeah, well, I guess, well, my research actually focuses mostly on the United States. And so I've been looking at environmental and human rights organisations. And so some of the major environmental organisations which have been critiqued for almost decades now, who work closely with corporations, would be large organisations like WWF or the Nature Conservancy, the Wilderness Society in the US, which is separate from the Australian branch, while human rights groups that work closely with the leading elites of the world would be groups like Human Rights Watch.
I guess the connections would also, in a lot of cases, extend into government. Is that right?
Between non-governmental organisations,
between NGOs, the corporate sector, within these, you know, these boards of whether it's a philanthropic fund or an environmental group, do you see a lot of connections as well with people who have ties, for example, to the military or?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a sort of revolving doorway between non-governmental organisations, corporations and government. So often people have been former head of CEOs like mining corporations or leading military contractors will then, when they retire, they'll go into head of what are ostensibly progressive philanthropic organisations, or they'll then go and work in the NGO sector, working for, say, human rights groups like Human Rights Watch. So you'll have people who were former military advisors for the government go work then after retiring, or after they decided they had enough money or had enough of what they were doing, they'll go and work for a human rights organisation, which is a bit strange, I think.
So do you have any more specific examples?
Yeah, well, I guess I've just written an article about how biodiversity is often used to promote sort of corporate interests. So they say we're going to protect biodiversity, but in actual fact, it's more likely that the people involved are actually protecting corporate elites and power interests. And so, like, an interesting example I just stumbled across was a project in the UK, which is based in Cornwall, called the Eden Project. And, like, newspapers have been sort of calling it the eighth wonder of the world. And the idea was sort of, it began in, like, 1997, and it was sort of based on these ideas of this guy called Buckminster Fuller. And he had this concept of a geodesic dome, which is a massive type of dome greenhouse, which was they've made it out of plastic, transparent plastic hexagonal segments, and they're all fitted together. And there's these huge domes, and in each dome, they have created a different biome, a different environment from around the world, and sort of recreated it as a massive garden. And so it's widely, it opened in 2001, and it's now considered to be one of UK's leading gardens and tourist attractions. And this example sort of shows the overlap between sort of military contractors and what are ostensibly groups involved in promoting sustainable development, because the actual Eden Project itself is based in a former China clay quarry mine. And they work very closely with the mining sector. So it's most specifically Rio Tinto and Anglo American. So these are probably two of the most, destructive mining corporations in the world. And so if you wanted to look at sort of overlaps between sustainable development and military corporations, you could just look at their board of trustees. So for the Eden Trust, they have five people on their board of trustees, and the chair of their trustees is a guy called Sir John Rose, and he's the CEO of corporation Rolls-Royce Corporation, which is a leading military contractor in the UK. And then he's also sat alongside another guy called Simon Robertson, who's also a board member of Rolls-Royce on the board of the Eden Trust. And Simon Robertson is also a board member of the HSBC Group, which is one of the leading banking organisations in the world. And then if you look at other people who've served on the board of trustees, like another former chair who has served for a long time is a person called Sir Ronnie Hampel, and he's the former Chief Operating Officer of Imperial Chemical Industries, and he was a former board member of BAE Systems, which is a leading military contractor in the UK, probably one of the biggest ones. And at the same time as he was serving as the chair of the Eden Trust, he was actually a board member of the Aluminium Company of America. So it just makes you want to question what the actual role of this organisation is. I mean, are these just corporate elites who've decided they want to make the world a better place? Or are they using the Eden Project as some form of greenwash to make their own corporate activities look good?